You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester here on a Wednesday. And it's a big Wednesday for you. We're getting you ready for K-State football in Ireland. Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson's going to stop by. Our KU insider, Shreya Slada, is going to stop by, get us ready for KU's opener this weekend against Fresno State. All kinds of good stuff there. The Royals keep streaking. We are getting closer to the final preseason game for the Chiefs. We'll continue our NFL season previews. We'll go to the NFC North, one of the most exciting divisions in football this year. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Just announced the Kansas Lager Fest. Join WBC along with more than a dozen other breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Tommy, good morning. How are you? Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a busy day coming up today. You mentioned the Royals. That was exciting to watch last night. Game number two in the four-game set against the Rangers. So looking forward to getting into that as well. There's a lot going on. And, you know, the fact that we're going to be talking both K-State and KU on today's show, it'll be great to get Wyatt Thompson back on. Been a few months since we've talked to him. So looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, there's a lot happening right now. We're trying to get back into our, we'll just call it non-summer rotation. So we'll get Wyatt Thompson in for some visits again. We're looking to lock up a betting insider again this year. It'll be fun. We're making some picks this week, Friday coming up. We'll pick some games, KU and K-State, and maybe a couple other college football games from week zero. It's time, baby. We're here. And in the middle of it all, Tommy, we get Royals baseball, just like we did a year ago, staying relevant as they get another win last night and just continue to chug along here. And they're getting some help in the standings, too. Don't look now. But they're getting some help. 2.5 games is the wild card deficit at the moment. Now we're talking very gettable games against some of these teams they're competing directly against, including the, you know, finishing this series with Texas. But if you look right now up and down the standings, Tommy, you've got Seattle on a 4-game losing streak. You got Boston on a 3-game losing streak. Cleveland lost yesterday. Texas has lost a couple in a row, of course, because they've been playing Kansas City. The Yankees have stayed hot, but the Royals are still only 3.5 games back of the Yankees. So they're getting some help maybe a little more quickly than we thought they might, and their streak has been well-timed, and it, quite frankly, needs to just continue.
Yeah, they're the hottest team in Major League Baseball, winning 5 in a row. There's not another team that is on that kind of winning streak right now. Even with a team like the Yankees continuing to be hot, the Royals are hotter. And really, last night, that was the first time that we've seen basically almost everything fall into place for the Royals and everything pan out the way that the Royals wanted it to, outside of the Yankees beating the Rays. But the Diamondbacks came back and beat the Guardians in one of the late matchups last night. The Orioles and the Red Sox, let me tell you, I flipped over to the end of that game after the Royals ended up beating the Rangers, and the Orioles had a lead throughout the entire game. The Red Sox tied it in the ninth. And then the Orioles were able to squeak out a win in a really weird way. Nate Eaton was pinch running for the Red Sox, and he was the ghost runner in the 11th, I believe, or the 10th, the 11th. And he made it to third with one out. There was a sac fly, or what should have been a sac fly, and he held at third. He didn't go home, and he would have waltzed in to tie the ball game for the Red Sox. And that was enough for the Orioles to hang on, and they got the win, and the Red Sox dropped another game. And now, like you mentioned, the Royals are only 2.5 back in the wild card.
We got a performance out of Seth Lugo. We're going to dig into all of this throughout the show today. So it's just a part of many things. Wyatt Thompson will join us. Should be next segment. We'll try to work hard to make that first connection. I believe he flies out to Ireland today. So not that he doesn't have a lot going on. Did you know, Tommy, that 105 years ago, radio started in the United States? Today, you can hear us in your car, on your phone, your apps, your speakers. We're here for you when you need us in emergency news, entertainment, and community sport. National Radio Day, Tommy, 105 years, National Radio Day. How about that?
Yeah, happy National Radio Day to you. It's a fun day to look back and see, you know, our careers and in this industry and where they started and where this industry has been and gone to. So I hope that you celebrate National Radio Day today.
I am with a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
That's what I'll celebrate it with. Radio's always been my first love in media. I know it's yours too. Whether it was the long trips back and forth to the farm, listening to Rangers games on the radio with my dad, or falling in love with sports talk radio, delivering flowers for my grandpa, driving around all day in the big delivery van, just whatever I could get my hands on. Those were back in the days before you could get exactly what you wanted right at the palm of your hand, whenever you want it, however you want it. We're on a video stream that's streamed out to a television station's website, on two, you know, social media platforms and radio and then podcasts. Like, that's just our little show. It is grown into quite the versatile juggernaut.
Do you remember your very first time on the radio with it being National Radio Day?
That wasn't like calling into the local sports talk show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. It would have been, we had a college radio station. So that technically would have been like 3 a.m. my freshman year of college, on a DJ shift spinning college alternative radio. My first paid job was filling in for the sports guy on the equivalent of KNSS. So basically the equivalent of doing Ted the Sports Head updates for the local talk station at, you know, God knows what time in the morning, for KGNC Radio in Amarillo when I was 19. Yeah, I was probably 19 years old, on the Christmas break or something when he needed a holiday. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to think back to that. I was also on college radio back in the day. It would have been the same thing, like you, a DJ shift, like alternative rock. I had the worst shift out of anybody because I was a freshman and got, you know, last dibs on whatever that slot was. My very first paid job was with this group of radio stations, and I was 19. And I was a part-time, like, come in and, you know, on the weekends and like run the board. I wasn't on the air. I just like made sure that everything was like running and all of that. So it's been a fun journey over 20 years for you and I, but I mean, as you mentioned, the industry is 105 years old today.
Yeah, looks a lot different today than it did then. Play-by-play broadcasting, which is what I thought I was going to do for a living when I was younger. That would have been same time frame. I don't remember which came first, doing, you know, college games or whatever, but it's crazy that it's been that long, and it's crazy that it's held through, and it's crazy that, you know, the times have evolved and we've been able to evolve with it. 105 years, and it still is. You know, we hear stories all the time when there's major weather or crazy things like that. Guess what still works in your car? Right.
Yeah.
Like when everything else has gone to hell, like, you can still flip on the radio, and it's cool. It's cool to be a part of it. I'm glad we still have it. And I'm glad this community and this company, Odyssey, has such a commitment to radio and still brings that to us. So happy Radio Day, everybody. 105 years ago, National Radio Day, I should call it. We're glad to be here for you. We're glad you're here still tuning into the radio, listening to us, however it is that you do, because we got a great show for you coming up next. Believe. We should have Wyatt Thompson. Oh, I'm sure it's a lot of later in the show. We have a lot to get to on this Wednesday. Good morning, everybody.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sports Talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus, of course, on 12 News Connected, where many of you are watching us right now, as we are joined by Wyatt Thompson. Wyatt, it's good to be back. Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. You're getting ready to go to Ireland. Here we go. It is time.
Well, let me just say this. Good to be on with you again. And when I see you two guys and hear you guys, it must be football season, right?
Oh, here we go.
It's time. Let's do it.
Here we go.
I've said in other interviews, guys, that we've been waiting basically for a year for this. And this is when the team leaves today. We fly out of Kansas City just after 5:30, get into Dublin probably about 8:30 on Thursday morning their time, and should see a heck of a ball game. It's been a good camp. I think we've got two terrific teams. I don't know what else to say. Farmageddon, let's go.
It's pretty hard to beat this. K-State's a slight favorite. I think that's probably right. And I think, Wyatt, it is probably simply because we know just a little bit more about who's coming back. As much a turnover as there is, one thing K-State can hang their hat on this year is they didn't have a lot of it. They are pretty steady from what we saw a year ago.
Yeah, there's a couple of impactful losses there, like everybody, right? Like a Jacob Parrish, who could be a potential game one starter in Tampa. DJ Giddens, of course. I suppose you could name a few others like a Hadley Panzer. But generally speaking, K-State has a lot of guys back. And guys with experience, even though some of them might not be starters. Andrew Lanegang comes to mind. He probably could have been a starter over the last year or two in a lot of programs. So I'm excited to see, you know, what goes on. We've got a new offensive coordinator in Matt Wells. You've got a lot of weapons offensively, and I don't know that a lot of people are talking enough about K-State's defense. But we know what the league is going to be like, and it'll be most difficult as usual. But I think K-State's going to be right there if they do what they're capable of doing.
All eyes, Wyatt, of course, will be on Avery Johnson and his step forward in progression from last season to this year. And it's been pretty well documented over the course of the offseason and through practices and all of that, that the big thing that he's focused on is his decision-making and making that next step in his career, where everybody knows his athleticism, his talent, the things that he can do on the field. But being able to clean up some of the mistakes and the turnovers and that sort of thing, what do you expect from him? What do you think that he needs to do to be able to cut down on that this season?
Well, it's a good question, and I get asked it a lot. I think the bottom line is, if I'm being totally straight up with you, he has done so many things to make himself potentially a better football player from the end of last year. And you saw what K-State did, you know, beating Rutgers, coming from 17 down. He was a big part of that. Second-year starter. He's up 18 pounds in muscle mass, nutrition, weightlifting, film work, work one-on-one with Matt Wells. And that's all before the summer and camp, right? I really appreciate Avery because, you know, I remember him saying after the end of last year, it was a great year. We won 9 games, but if I would have been better, we would have been better. And I think he feels that. He wants to be more of a leader. I think where he's probably better is just one, the obvious, which is experience as a starting quarterback. And then secondarily, and Matt Wells has talked a lot about this, it's the pre-snap reads. Thirdly, I would tell you, I think K-State has the potential at least to be better around him with more weapons on the offensive side with Jace Brown and Dylan Edwards, Joe Jackson, and then not just exclusively those two transfer receivers, but those guys, Jaron Bradley and Jerron Tibbs, are really rock solid. I'm really excited to see those guys perform on a big stage.
And Avery's just got to stay healthy, right? That was the other problem last year. Different player when he was hurt. Dylan Edwards, his buddy, is catching quite a bit of buzz, you know, in the preseason from all the people that pay attention to this stuff. And I think it's because of the Rutgers game. And maybe we should caution that, but there's no reason to hold him back in an opener against Iowa State. So if it was 20 touches against Rutgers, DJ Giddens is out. Is that the sort of workload we expect for Dylan Edwards this year? Jump straight into the Deuce Vaughn, you know, DJ Giddens role and touch the ball that many times a game?
I love the question, and I think it's a really good one. I don't know, if I'm being honest, how that's going to play. Is it capable? He'll get 20 rush attempts per game and some opportunities to catch the ball and some opportunities to return? I think the answer is certainly yes. The reason I hesitate even a little bit is the fact that he's so valuable in terms of when they move him, you know, in motion out of the backfield or put him in the slot and move him, or even as a wide receiver and move him. And I got to be honest about this. I think the coaches love Joe Jackson too, and they want those two guys on the field from time to time together. And I think Joe has a chance to be a really, really fine player too. They're different, certainly. But I think the coaches feel like they can do a lot of things with those two guys on the field, along with Jace, those other guys that I mentioned, a Sterling Lockett, and, you know, whoever it might be. So Emney mentioned the tight ends, and K-State's stacked to the to the brim on that. So I think Avery's got a chance to be really good taking that next step. But again, like I say, I hope they're better around him, and I think they have the chance to do that.
You mentioned Matt Wells a few minutes ago, and you know he's been with the program, so he's not new, he's not a new face, but he's got the offense as a whole now as the offensive coordinator. Connor Riley is out, and Matt Wells is fully in as the offensive coordinator. He's obviously got former head coaching experience. He and Chris Klieman are close. What do you anticipate, if any, kinds of changes in the way schematically that this offense is rolled out?
That's a good point, I think, and a good question, because I don't think K-State's going to change who they are, and that means physical football. They want to run the ball. All of those things probably won't change as long as Chris Klieman is in charge. But with that said, I think Matt Wells has, as we talked about, lots of options out there in terms of skill set. But also he likes to occasionally speed up the process, maybe play a little bit faster. You know, I think you could see K-State as an example. One play, they're going to have 4 or 5 wide receivers. Another play, they may have 3 tight ends on the field, right? So I do think that there is a chance that they could go a little quicker from time to time. And I think they will probably throw it more than they did a year ago. And why not, right? I mean, if you have those types of weapons, you just don't want to be predictable with it. If they can be non-predictable with that skill set and they protect Avery like we hope that they can, then and you run the ball, all good, right? Sign us all up.
Yeah, I think so too. What about the defense, Wyatt? How good can this defense be out of the gates? How do they stack up maybe against some of the defenses in the league?
I think the short answer here is the going into camp, the real question around the league was, can they replace Jacob Parrish and Keenan Garber? And I think the coaches are really excited about Zayshon Rich and Donovan McIntosh. Those guys, I think, are younger don't have the experience, but are really quality players and are learning fast and have handled things honestly in camp and not just in terms of just the, you know, knowing the football. They've tried to lead and be a part of, you know, that side of it. I like the defense because I like the depth on the front. Those two linebackers, and I'm talking about Austin Romaine and Desmond Purnell, have played a lot of football and they're darn good players. And then you've got VJ Payne being basically the captain of that secondary. You know, we'll miss Marquis Siegel and we'll miss those two corners, but I do think that there are some guys that are making their way. And I think, to be honest, going into this first game, people are going to be introduced to a guy by the name of Quay Moss. You know, he's made his way. We hope to have Gunnar Maldonado available for this game, probably not with Kobe McAllister. And I bring that up to say this, when those guys are available, along with Asa Newsome, linebacker, and he's close, he could actually play a little. I think K-State's defense will even be better. Where do they stack up in the league? When you talk to people around the league, most everybody says, look at K-State's defensive front. That may be the best group in the conference. And if that is so, I think K-State can make a lot of hay this year.
Wyatt, we got to talk about the stakes in this game in Dublin this weekend. I mean, it's as big of a game for potential Big 12 championship hopes for these teams, CFP potentially. We're not talking about a cupcake game going overseas to kick off the season. It's got everything with it, you know, right away, right out of the gate. Chris Klieman and his history with Iowa State is not very good. I mean, let's just be real about it. What are some of the preparations? What are some of the things that they're going to need to do going overseas in this week zero matchup to try to get the win over Iowa State?
Well, I've said this a lot in the last few weeks. I think it's, if you study it, and I know you guys do, both of these coaches have talked about doing their due diligence in talking to coaches about not just the Aer Lingus Classic and Ireland, but anything internationally, whether it's pro coaches, college coaches, guys that have won the Aer Lingus, guys that have lost the Aer Lingus. I think they both feel comfortable with what they've got to do, but both have said, meaning Chris Klieman and Matt Campbell, the concern is coming back and playing again next week. Regardless of who you're playing, that's difficult because of the time change and all of the miles and what have you. But at the end of the day, I think these two teams are pretty similar in how they want to do things. They're both, you know, they have winning culture. I do think K-State has a little bit of advantage in the speed game. Do they have an advantage with their defensive front? I think one of the real intriguing matchups is going to be K-State's offensive line against Iowa State's defensive front. And I think that will really be key because if you look at it, they struggled, they being Iowa State, last year against the run. They were in the lower third of the league in run defense. That should not happen to them again. And in part because not only of the defensive front, but they were just decimated early last year in their linebacking core, and all of those guys are healthy. Bacon is back, and McLaughlin, and some of those kind of kids, those guys are good football players. So I'm expecting a really good game. I hope that answers the question. But the enormity of the game, you can't hardly quantify it, really, unless you talk almost all day about it, because ESPN, first game of the year, week zero, Farmageddon, conference game. K-State's also got road trips to Kansas, to Waco, to Salt Lake City. If you can get this one, it can kind of set the tone. If you don't, you've got to survive it and move on, and a lot of football to go. But boy, I'm not going to lie, it would be great to win this game, no doubt about that.
You mentioned you mentioned Iowa State's defensive line against K-State's offensive line. I'm curious about Iowa State offensively. We know Becht is back, but they sent their two insanely talented wide receivers to the NFL now. What do we know about them, and how good do you expect them to be offensively here right out of the gates? I feel like it's maybe good to catch them early.
Super point in my eyes, because Nolan Higgins were both really, really high-level players. Both were, you know, second-day picks in the draft. both had tons of catches, tons of touchdowns, tons of yards, and just had a great rapport with Rocco Becht, right? I think part of that, the slack will be taken up by those two really good tight ends. Ben Bramer's back and healthy. Greg Burkle had a breakout year last year. But those transfer guys for them will be as important as Bradley and Tibbs are for K-State, meaning guys like Chase Sowell, who redshirted a year at Colorado and then played at East Carolina. And another kid that I think they're really excited about is the Xavier Townsend kid, who's a transfer from UCF. He's a real quality athlete, not eye-popping numbers by any stretch last year, but he'll be a part of their return game too. I don't think those guys are going to be what those two kids were a year ago. It's probably a little too much to expect that, but I'm thinking that they're thinking Bramer and Burkle will take up a little bit of the slack there.
Wyatt, who's going to win the beer drinking contest in Ireland? K-State fans, Iowa State fans. It's one of the great matchups.
You know what? I'm not a betting man, and I don't want to make anybody mad, but those Cyclones can party now.
They can drink.
Am I wrong?
No,
I'm with you. I think they're at least a touchdown favorite.
Well, maybe. and you know what? If you're second to them, that's still pretty high level, right?
Right.
I mean, that's big.
There's nothing wrong with that, but we've all been to the Big 12 tournament. We know how that goes. We know who's there closing it down every night.
Yeah. No doubt.
That's going to be so fun. I'm so jealous of you guys. Wyatt, enjoy the trip. I don't know if you've ever been. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have great football. Everybody in the country is going to be watching this. What an opportunity for Avery and the Cats, but Avery especially, to really plant his flag this year. I'm so excited for it. And we'll be talking about it here next week when you guys get back, and hopefully it's a win and off to the right track.
Bright and early on Monday morning, right? We'll break it all down. Let's hope we're talking about a W, fellas. Great to talk
to you. We'll hear it all right here on your home of K-State football and K-State athletics, KFH. Wyatt, safe travels.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. It's going to be fantastic. Bright and early Saturday. I've got we got a buddy coming into town. It's a big fantasy football draft weekend, Tommy. I just, like, Saturday morning, I got back-to-back drafts. Wherever it is that we can get posted up, Bloody Mary, fantasy football draft, K-State on in the background. I mean, I'm telling you.
Man, it's this weekend, you know, for both of us. I mean, it's football filled. I'm going to go up to the final preseason game for the Chiefs on Friday night and then turn around, come back home. So I'm coming back from Kansas City Friday night, and then my wife and boys and I are going to turn around and go up to Lawrence for the first KU game on Saturday night, the very first game in the new David Booth Stadium. And so it's going to be a football-filled weekend, and I'll, of course, have K-State on, you know, in between those two things.
And before you head up, we'll start it off with some golf Friday at Crestview Country Club. Great supporters of the show. That rain maybe cooled us off a little bit. I think we're going to get some incredible weather on Friday right before the next round of rain moves in. Well, if you want to see what it's about, it really is like we're about to enter the best golf season, of Crestview Country Club. We'll lose the pool after Labor Day, but if it's the golf or the tennis, like my wife, being outside out there now when it cools off, it is incredible. Give Crestview a call. They're great supporters of the program. Tommy and I are both out there. Come play a little golf with us sometime, but get out there, give them a call. See what all kinds of different memberships they have.
I love fall golf. I love the time of year to play golf during that time, and the weather in general. My wife and I were sitting out on the front porch last night watching the rain fall, and I'm like, man, I was wearing a hoodie. I'm like, man, this is – I love it. I'm excited. I'm ready for the temperatures to fully come all the way down, and we should have, I think, highs in the lower 70s next week. I know Max hates it. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Oh, hun, let's go sit on the front porch and watch the rain. We're getting old, Tommy.
I've got no shame. It was relaxing.
I don't either. I love watching the rain.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, let's talk some Royals, which, by the way, you can hear right here on KFH tonight, 6:30. The coverage begins, or kfhradio.com. You can also listen on the Odyssey app. And you're going to be listening to see if the Royals can make it six straight wins. They get the win last night. Seth Lugo, Tommy, I mean, the headline of this game is, of course, that they've won their fifth straight. The secondary headline, the sub-headline, is that Seth Lugo I think, looked a little more back to himself. Now, full disclosure, I did not get to the game. I was out chasing kids and then at like an HOA meeting until probably, I think it was the seventh inning. So I missed Lugo's start. So I was feverishly like checking back to the highlights, looking at his box score. It seems like it was at least closer to normal. And then, of course, I got locked in for all the fireworks late in the game as the Royals scored a bunch of runs late and took the lead and held the lead for the game. But, you know, it's that time of year. For again, the first headline is that they won the game. Quite frankly, this time of year, you don't care how it comes. But, boy, it feels a whole lot better when you can look at Seth Lugo getting into the seventh inning and being respectable. Maybe he's not hurt. Who knows what it was? Be the best news ever for Kansas City. Because if Lugo's right, Tommy, now when you look at this thing and you look at that rotation and we're looking at a very stable Noah Cameron and a very stable Michael Wacha, and Burgert's been nice, and we'll see what Lorenzen, you know, he's going to battle through for you. Now you're feeling really good about it. Because if nothing else, when you've got that, you know, when you're locked in with a rotation the way the Royals are, it makes a losing streak less likely, right? It did, you know, you're probably going to get good to great pitching most nights. That's how you do this thing. Like you're in every game when that's the case.
Yeah, going back to Lugo last night, he looked okay. He didn't look phenomenal, but he looked better than his previous two starts, which that's all really you can ask for at this point, because I think most Royals fans were about to fall off a cliff with the way that Lugo had been pitching. And so the fact that he was able to stabilize it at least somewhat, he gave up a couple runs early, but then really settled in. And I think the fact that really even more than the runs he gave up, even more important than that is how deep he went into the game. He went 6 1/3 into the game. And that's, I think, essential. If he wasn't right physically, if there was something going on health-wise with him, there's no way he would have went 6 1/3 in that game, regardless of the box score. If he had, you know, thrown up zeros left and right and struck out a bunch, but only went 4 innings, then you start to have questions about, okay, is he actually okay? What's going on here? You know, can he actually get deep into a ball game? But the fact that he worked his way into the seventh, I think that tells you more about his overall level of health than even the number of runs he gave up and the number of strikeouts and all of that. So he looked okay. He looked better. And hopefully he's turned that corner and he can settle back in down the stretch.
The one of the great things about the win too is that the Royals were able to get the late Bobby Witt home run. And then you know, it was a Zerpa-Schreiber game, two critical pieces to their bullpen, but it preserves in a stretch of games where they don't have a day off until next Thursday. You got to preserve Ursig and Estevez, essentially giving them a night off. That's also pretty critical, in my opinion. We were texting as it was happening. Bobby Witt Jr. hits that home run, and it's like, man, I hope he sits Estevez back down. It was even a save situation.
Yeah.
You know, the chances of it were 50-50 at best, but I think Cotrero sees the same thing. Like, boy, if I could save him now, if I could save him tonight as we're trying to climb back in, that could be huge. Three runs, you feel comfortable with it, and they were able to do that last night, and that, again, that makes you feel better for tonight's game. Now right. They're rested.
I was surprised. I texted you that I thought that they
I was a little surprised. It was the right call. It was the move.
Yeah. I you said, you know, hopefully they can set Estevez down, and I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Q will still throw him, and then there's Schreiber with a 3-run lead, and that was Schreiber's first save opportunity of the entire season. But I like that. I mean, I like that strategy, and that's something that I know some Royals fans have been frustrated with, is the use of the bullpen and specifically the use of Estevez by Matt Cotrero, and the fact that he didn't pitch and the fact that he made that decision. And I think due large in part, as you mentioned, to the fact that they don't have an off day for another 8 days, saving his arm in a more high leverage situation. I mean, that's the right call. I was surprised that Cotrero made that call though.
If they had a day off Thursday, Estevez is in that game, I think. But we're looking at this thing big picture. And Estevez has been, he's leading, I think still leading the league in saves. He's set his own career high. But I think everybody is pretty comfortable with, like, Estevez can be shaky. Most of the time this year, it's just come in the non-save situations. This was a save situation. This would have lined up to his normal routine. I'm sure he would have been fine last night. But he's not Mariano Rivera out there. So if you can help him, help him. He has been far more than I thought he would be for the Royals. He's been really good.
He's been really good.
But he's had moments, and they have to, like, you've got to leave that back end setup for, I mean, you're playing the Tigers in Detroit in a tie game in the seventh. Maybe you're up one. Like, you've got to make sure those guys are available there. And now they've done that. You know, we know they can pitch back-to-back nights. We know they can pitch three nights in a row if they have to. You're setting yourself up to be able to do that now. By doing that last night, taking that small opportunity, they'll get some day baseball on Friday. If you needed them there on a quick tonight to tomorrow turn, you'd have that available. It's just a lot of good reasons to make that call. And I'm glad he did it.
Yeah. And you know, look, I think the other thing too, to keep in mind with him is that he's only been, I think, not great in non-high leverage situations.
At least over the last 2 months. You know, I didn't take it back, but we looked at that.
And so the fact that, you know, Quatrero is like, you know, I'm going to save him for when it is a one or two run game. You know, that's been the way that it's, I think, worked out the best for Estevez, you know, especially as of late. And I think a guy that needs a little bit of credit after last night's game is Angel Zerpa and the way that he got out of the jam in the eighth inning. Zerpa is much maligned, you know, and he's easy to kind of throw crap on and Zerpa again, you know, whatever. But he got out of a jam in the eighth inning and he built that jam himself. But the fact that he was able to induce a double play to get out of the jam and to maintain that one-run lead, that then immediately led to the bottom of the eighth and Bobby Witt Jr.'s home run to add two insurance runs. And so Zerpa's a guy that doesn't get a lot of pats on the back. He doesn't get a lot of credit. In fact, he gets a lot of criticism. But he was nails last night when the Royals needed that.
He's given up one run in his last nine appearances.
But I don't understand. Like, he gets criticized a lot, and I don't really necessarily understand why.
Well, because a couple of reasons. When it unravels for him, it seems to come in bunches. Like, he'll be bad for like a week, and it's like you can't use him right there. And he does get himself kind of like Estevez at times into jams that he then has to escape. Okay, I mean, you know, he had his inning in two thirds last night. He had a hit and a walk, so it wasn't that bad. But there are times where he'll give up some traffic. But there's no question, and I thought this for a while now, Zerp is a key piece to this bullpen. You just have to be careful with him. When he doesn't have it or when he's a little bit off, it goes fast. Like, it unravels real fast. But the bottom line is, for the majority of the season, like, he's been effective. But if you go back and you look with him, like, his ERA is back down to a very respectable level now. Like, he'll be going good, and then the bottom will fall out on him and everything will go to hell. And then he'll have like 12 scoreless appearances in a row. And then he'll come back and he'll have three where it's like, what was that? And so, you know, you need him on a heater, I guess. And right now they need him because of injuries like that. There's no, you're using Zerpa at this point. You hope you can pick your spots and it's the right days for him, but he's got to be there for them down the street. He's probably the fourth or fifth option out of the pen. You know, you've got your back end and you've got Lynch and Schreiber. Yeah, so he's right there. Like, he is one of those critical pieces to that bullpen. There's no doubt about it.
You know, everybody's gonna talk about, rightfully so, the Bobby Witt Jr. home run, the insurance runs, his 100th career home run. I mean, it was a bullet to center field. I mean, he crushed that baseball. But on top of that, And rightfully so. Like, I want to give Bobby Witt Jr. his flowers. Absolutely. Another home run from Mike Yastrzemski. Like, that was such an under-the-radar acquisition from J.J. Piccolo at the deadline. And he's been their full-time leadoff guy. And he just continues to deliver game after game.
It's been good for he and Jonathan India. It's been incredible. And don't overlook what Vinny Pasquantino has meant for a long time. Like, his ability to drive in runs, he's back, all the way back. He is so dangerous in this lineup. This is the offense. It took him a long time to get there for whatever reason. This is far more of the offense we thought we'd see for the entire season. It just took a long time to get there. Royals play tonight. So another 6:40 first pitch. Noah Cameron tries to keep going, making it six in a row. I got to tell you, as a Rangers fan, Kumar Rocker has been no bueno. They got a big opportunity to score a bunch of runs tonight again here. Rocker's got good stuff. Boy, he is just, I mean, they got a chance here to score.
Well, and the fact the Royals are fortunate that Jacob DeGrom is not going to be pitching. He's skipping his scheduled start tonight. And so the Royals avoid him. I texted you last night that it looks like the Royals are going to avoid Tarek Skubal this weekend when they play the Tigers. Like, so things are lining up. There are a lot of things that the dominoes are falling, you know, where it's kind of a lot of these things are in the Royals' favor. Now, they've just got to go out and take it. They've got to take advantage of these situations in front of them. And I like the fact that, as you just mentioned, they've got Cameron on the bump tonight.
They're it's almost even money, Royals and Rangers. I can't quite figure that one out today. But the Rangers are cooked. The Rangers are cooked. Take advantage if you're the Royals right now. Kick them while they're down. Breaks my heart, but it is the truth of the situation. All right, next hour, we've got Shreyas Lada in. We're going to preview the NFC North as well. We got all kinds of fun stuff. We'll check in from Chiefs camp yesterday. Anything stand out to us? We've got what the coaches are saying. It's all coming for you in another hour of Sports Daily. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on a beautiful Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. It's all Brock and Castle. We'll come right back. It's always a great Hawaiian shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily. Hope you're all out there celebrating. Glad to have you with us. Thanks for Wyatt Thompson stopping by, voice of the Wildcats. He's getting ready to hop on a plane and head to Ireland. If you missed anything in that conversation, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We get podcasted out. Max takes care of that for us every day. Max has got those phone lines for you at 869-1240. And we've got your comments on YouTube and X today. We'll get that Facebook reconnected in the next couple of days. Glad to be here with you. You want to win some iced tea today? We'll start you off there here in this hour. You can text the keyword tea right now to 20357. That's 20357 at HTO East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Just announced cherry iced tea is sticking around forever. It's going to become a permanent flavor, very popular. Summer edition is here. We'll have the new fall flavor for you coming up announced in the next couple of weeks. I think people will be excited. T20357. We've got Shreyas Lada stopping by in this hour. We're excited for that. Get you ready for KU this weekend. They're taking on Fresno State. A lot of buzz around that stadium, everything getting ready to be done there. And we'll preview the NFC North. This one should be fun. Wide open division where you could make some case for any of the four teams there to be the winner. We'll think about that division coming up. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. With the just-announced Kansas Lagerfest, join me along with more than a dozen other breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Tommy, Chiefs camp yesterday. I don't think there's a lot to kind of take you through on this one. Matt Nagy was kind of the coordinator day. He likes what Josh Simmons has done. Talking about his confidence. I don't think they're going to give us the skinny on left guard. But it sounds like everybody is pleased with, like we are pleased with what they're seeing from Josh Simmons. The big thing for him though, is he going to be healthy? Like, we all knew this guy was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the major question mark. Like, not just, you know, will he be healthy, but will he be fully 100% healthy and effective? And I think, you know, that question has been answered just by his play, you know, over the last few weeks and in preseason and all of that. So I've got, I mean, you know, if right after the draft, if the level of concern for his health was an 8 out of 10, you know, it probably dropped to a 6 out of 10 at the beginning of OTAs, and then it probably dropped to a 5 out of 10 at the beginning of training camp. Now it's probably down to like a 1 or a 2. I mean, like, I don't think that there's really anything major at all to be concerned about. It's been more about how does he acclimate himself to full game speed at the NFL level and all of that. And from what it seems like through the first two preseason games, he's passed with flying colors. And so really, honestly, I think the one of the things that I'm looking forward to, hopefully, fingers crossed that we can get to this point where we're not even really having to talk about what's going on at left tackle. Like if that just kind of becomes a foundational rock solid piece of the offensive line where Josh Simmons' name doesn't get called out. He fills into that role and we don't have to worry about it. That would be ideal.
Because we're too busy screaming at left guard. Maybe.
Well, true.
It's possible. Look, I think the really interesting thing is that injury, from what I've always been able to tell, like once you're clear of it, you're clear of it. It's not like a soft tissue issue, you know, soft tissue issue where you're looking and saying, oh, could this thing flare back up? Like, I think once he's clear, he's clear. So yeah, then it just becomes about the regular, you know, acclimation of a rookie left tackle. But this is a guy with as high a pedigree coming out as you're ever going to find. So I think it'll settle in quietly and it will be fine. And then he'll have to, you know, figure out what's going on to his right at left guard. And that's the big question now for the Chiefs. And I'll be honest here. I didn't think of it as a big a concern as it's going to be, which is probably foolish on my part because they're trying to replace Joe Tooney there. And it's just, because they didn't have Tooney for a lot of last season either, and they made it work. And now they're going to have to figure out how to make this work. And they can't. You know, you can't afford the momentum to be let out of the balloon on Simmons playing well by just giving up the pressure up the middle, you know, to his right. So somebody's going to have to step up into that role. The Chiefs are keeping that. I think they're keeping it kind of quiet. I don't know what they're going to do. I still think it'll be more in Brazil. I think it'll be more. And I think Juwan Taylor will be on the right side. But boy, I guess it could be Kingsley. And we'll have to keep our eye on that. Today is the day Andy Reid speaks, and today is the day we probably get like a definitive answer, but I think he already gave it to us on Monday or whatever day that was, that this will be the game where you see Mahomes and company. I don't know that you'll see all of them, but for more or less, for what it's worth, the starters, right? I think we'll see them. I bet it's two series. That's my call. Two series. As long as it's not like a three and out or something, I think we'll see two series around 10 plays for the starters, and then that'll be it. I think that's what we're looking at this weekend.
Well, the biggest thing too with this final preseason game, and this is the way that it is all across the entire league, is that you've got fringe players that are trying to make their roster spot. They're you know, the coaches and everybody, they're going to be looking at, okay, we've got to get down to the 53-man roster, and the way that the preseason has changed from previous years to within the last couple is there's only one cutdown day. It's not multiple rounds of cutdowns. And so the Chiefs, a lot of these guys that are on the fringes, that are on the bubble potentially to make the team or not make the team, it's going to be their final opportunity to show out and show off a little bit. And we've talked about at length the handful of players that at least we think are on the bubble, on that potential cut line, to maybe miss out on a roster spot. And so it'll be up to them on Friday night, once the starters are done and they're out, for these guys to put on a final show in advance of the final cutdown.
Yeah, and who knows how much of that is determined there, how much is determined in practice. There will be some critical spots. Dave Tobe was asked about Sky Moore and what he can do in the return game. He is fond of him, said he trusts his hands back there, which is kind of funny. But, you know, that may be the thing, but, man, I doubt it. Tyquan Thornton, Tobe says he's trying to find a role for him. There are going to be a couple of spots, but this happens every year. I said this at some point. Like, we look at how much time over the years have we spent on Justin Ross. Justin Ross never sees the field when the games are actually flying. So I think for these particular decisions, and most of us are looking at running back and receiver and maybe tight end, and how does that all sort itself out? The reality has always been you've got Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt early on. What's behind them? They're almost certainly going to keep Rashard Smith. And then you've got a collection of receivers that, when healthy, are going to already include Rashi Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Jalen Royals, Juju Smith-Schuster. That's five. You're not going the Chiefs won't need more than that, except for guys that can help in special teams or whatever. So as much as we all may be enamored with Tyquan Thornton, right, and his ability to get down the field, it'll be a problem for the Chiefs if he's a significant contributor. They'll have a handful of plays for some of these guys. Thornton probably has the advantage on insertion to make one big play a game, or maybe Sky Moore has the advantage in special teams because he's done it a long time for Dave Tobe, or Nico Remigio on special
it's gonna
teams
be Remigio.
Because he's done it a long time.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being Remigio.
Conclusion.
I mean, I think that if I had to guess right now, I think Remigio will get a roster spot and that'll make six. And then I don't think it's going to be Thornton and Moore on the active roster. I think that as much as Dave Tobe may trust Sky Moore's hands, and that is kind of funny, I think that the experiment is done and should be done.
I'd keep Thornton. So we can have a little. I don't want to call it having fun because these are guys' livelihoods and that seems cruel. But I would bet you that it's not Remy.
My biggest concern, I'm going to be honest with you. My biggest issue with when Sky Moore had that big old return in the second preseason game was, man, that might be enough for them to want to keep him around for another year.
Well, didn't he have a huge return in one of the Super Bowls?
Well, he did.
Too, or something.
Yeah, like 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years. Like, yeah. Great, cool. But like, he had fallen out of favor big time, as we all know. And I didn't want this like one big return in the second preseason game to be like, oh, well, now we need to keep him because look at it. You know, he did. Like, I didn't want the blinders to be on. Like, look at the entire body of work. Look at everything. From day one.
We all need to find someone to sports hate as much as Tommy sports hates Sky Moore. I trust Dave Tobe. Whichever guy he wants, I don't care. Again, like to me, it's irrelevant.
But
they're not going to return.
Nobody loves Sky
they're
Moore.
They're not
like,
going to return punts. I used to love
You've
Sky
wanted
Moore.
Sky Moore to be the wide receiver one forever.
Like 4 years ago. But yeah. I was intrigued by him. I just want the punt returner to catch the ball. They're not going to return any punts anyway. Like they don't return them. Just catch it. Like, I just, whatever Dave Tobe wants. And then I think it's Rashard Smith. And it will be interesting when it happens. And then we'll forget about it and not care once the games actually start being played. All right. When we come back, NFC North preview here on Sports Daily. We continue to take you through the divisions. This is one of the best. That's next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome back in, everybody. Shreya Salata coming up later in the hour, so stick around for that, KU fans, as we get you ready for the Fresno State game. We are getting you ready for the NFL season. We continue our divisional previews here on Sports Daily, and we move up to the NFC North. Tommy, you could tell me this is probably the only division. Yeah, this would be the only division that you could tell me any order of finish. And I would say, okay, I could see it. I mean, there's any order of finish. And that includes the Chicago Bears. There could be any order of finish here. And I'd be like, all right, you could talk me into it. This one should be, as far as top to bottom, the best in football this year.
Yeah, it's a four-team race. Literally any of these teams could win the division. Now, the favorites are going to be the Lions. For good reason, but every single one of these teams can probably lay a claim to saying that they could win the division. And I think it's the most talented from top to bottom. It's the best from top to bottom, and it's probably the most difficult to figure out as well.
Yeah, I think, look, there's going to be a case to be made for the NFC West also, where you could have any order of finish on the table. I think surprisingly the AFC West, the problem is the Chiefs have such a stranglehold on it. But when you talk about talent up and down, you know, Geno and Pete Carroll going to the Raiders, they draft Ginty, they have Brock Bowers. Like they're probably better than people think. I think they've got a chance to actually win some games this year, but this is the one where these teams all seem to be pretty good. It's hard for me to not be excited about the prospects of Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's the reason, I think, in the legitimacy. Now, we've never seen him be a head coach, but he's been the number one guy, the number one candidate for everybody for, what, 3 years now, as far as the NFL coaching cycle every year. And this is the spot he picked. And I think that's important. He picked this spot, which means he believes in Caleb Williams, or he wouldn't have picked this spot. I think they've done a really nice job collecting talent. I don't know that they'll be able to run the ball as much as Ben Johnson maybe is used to running the ball, but I also think their defense is pretty good. I am not going to pick them last in this division. I'll tell you that. That Chicago will not be my fourth place finisher in this division. Will they be yours?
No, they won't be. In fact, I think I have the Vikings finishing last in the division.
Really?
And that's literally only because J.J. McCarthy is a complete unknown. We just don't know. And by last, I mean, I think that they could be around 500. I don't think that they're going to be 4-13 or anything like that. I think it's going to be a highly competitive division, and there's not going to be much separation, I don't think, between the first team in the division and the fourth team in the division. The other thing, too, is that there are question marks at wide receiver with the Vikings right now. Jordan Addison is out for a few weeks with his situation. Justin Jefferson is hurt, and we don't know if he's going to be available for week one. That's not anything that, you know, probably will linger into the season, but I saw a report today that Minnesota is actually actively pursuing trades at wide receiver to have some reinforcements to start the season. So I've got Minnesota right now as my team that I think will probably finish last in the division. But your original question, no, I don't think that Chicago will finish last.
I don't either. I think Green Bay will finish last. Okay. I'm in on Minnesota. I'm in on J.J. McCarthy. I really like J.J. McCarthy. He was my – well, I don't remember how my final ranking of that class. I liked him. I think I had Caleb 1, but I think I had McCarthy 2. Or maybe he was tied with Jaden Daniels, because I did like Jaden Daniels. In fact, I liked them all, except Bo Nix is the one that surprised me. I even like Penix. What a class that could be, by the way. My goodness. But I'm in on McCarthy. I think McCarthy is set up. I'm a little concerned about the things you mentioned. I'm a little concerned about all the injuries right out of the gates. I think Kevin McConnell, though, is a quarterback whisperer. I think J.J. McCarthy is at least better than everybody he's had, you know, of the guys that he's, like Nick Mullins, some of these guys that he's made look good. We'll see if he can be as good as Sam Darnold. We'll see if he can be as good as Kirk Cousins with Kevin McConnell, but I think there's a good chance that he can be. I like J.J. McCarthy. I think Detroit is being slept on a little bit. I know they lost both coordinators. That's tough to overcome. I get it.
Get that question.
But other than that, Tommy, like, that's it. They basically return the entire offense, and their defense, which was put together by, you know, scotch tape, not even duct tape last year, is now at least healthier. They have one of the best young defensive players in football back. I think the Lions are being slept on. I think the Lions win this division. I don't know. Like, it feels like they're not getting the buzz. I think I've told you this. They're one of my absolute favorite Super Bowl future. At one point, you could get them at like 11-1. And I'm telling you, like, I don't know what the you know, I guess I get it with Johnson and Glenn and all these things, but great teams and great coaches lose coordinators all the time. And I do feel like Dan Campbell has turned into a great coach in this league. They'll get that part figured out. They've got so much retirement. Yeah, they lose like Ben Johnson, big loss, but all the pieces are still there. Like, it's the same group. They'll acclimate quickly, and I don't even know who the Lions brought in there. I assume it's some sort of promotion that'll be familiar enough with it where they should be able to just sort of move forward. Dan Campbell played offense, everybody. Like, he was a tight end in football. I know he seems like a defensive guy, but he was a tight end. Offense, you know, that's what he's comfortable with too. I like the Lions a lot. I've got them winning the division.
I think the Lions are vulnerable. I think if this is the year that another team in the division can dethrone them, just literally because of the coordinators and the transition that you've got to look at as a team when you're replacing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, who both were fantastic coordinators in their own right, both leaving in the same year. That's really hard. Like that, and I love Dan Campbell. And he's got a tremendous amount of talent on that team. We all know that. But it's one thing when you lose one coordinator to a head coaching job that you've got to replace. When you've got to replace both coordinators in one year, that becomes really difficult. And it doesn't mean that I don't think the Lions are going to be successful. I just think that you have to be realistic about that transition to two new coordinators, two new styles of you know, the way that they run both units and all of that. I think that they're ripe for a step down. I think they're still a playoff team, but I don't have Detroit winning the division. In fact, I think the Packers will win the division. The Packers are a really good team, and I think they're getting slept on. The fact that they've got, in fact, in 2024, the Packers had the fifth best defense in the league. And that defense could be potentially even better this year. The Josh Jacobs experiment worked out in Green Bay. He's back this year. And they drafted Matthew Golden, who I like a lot, to be another pass-catching option for Jordan Love. I think the Packers can win this division. I think the Lions and I think the Bears can both be wild card teams. Those are the three that I I think they all could win the division, but the way that I've got it ranked out right now is Packers 1, Lions 2, Bears 3, Vikings 4, and I think that all but the Vikings will make the playoffs.
I've got it Lions, Vikings, Bears, Packers, which is crazy because the Packers always win 10 games. The Packers are fine. They're the ones with all the injuries that are scaring me. Jordan Love's got a hurt thumb. Golden is like the healthiest receiver that they have. They have all these guys. Josh Jacobs, they're going to run him into the ground early. Which
he was really good. He was really good last year.
That's why he's there, right? I get it. But I, you know, is that going to hold up? The thing I think that gets the most interesting in this division is how are all the defenses? Last year, Minnesota was really good. I think they have one of the great coordinators in football. Green Bay was a highly underrated defense. And Detroit's healthy now. I think that I think all four defenses are good, and I think all four offenses have a chance to be elite. Like this to me, top to bottom is the best division in football.
It is.
I'm with you,
and I think that on top of that too. I mean, we haven't really talked much about Chicago. I think they've got probably the largest swing where they could be either
absolutely
not great or they could be really good. Like I think we kind of know where the other three teams, at least talent-wise, are. There's a lot of unknowns with Chicago just simply because it's the first time we're going to see Caleb Williams paired up with Ben Johnson.
I mean, you know, they lose Keenan Allen, but they went and aggressively made their offensive line better. Remember, they're the team that went and got Joe Tooney. They made big-time moves there. They drafted a highly talented tight end in the first round of the draft in Colston Loveland. So they add a weapon. They lose Keenan Allen, but they add Loveland. Roma Dunze in the second year, he looked good toward the end of last year to go with DJ Moore. Now they have their big tight end. They're loaded. They're loaded. It's all in front of Caleb Williams. He's got to take it. And, oh, by the way, they just added the game's rising star offensively in Ben Johnson.
And I know before I even say this, let me preface it by saying, I know it's just a preseason game. Okay. So it's, you can't really read a whole lot into it. Did you see the Bears just punch the Bills in the mouth? Like it was 38-0 in that second preseason game. Again, it's a preseason game. But I mean, I think that like that was something that Ben Johnson in the preseason was like, all right, look, guys, we need to like get out to a good start and like get ourselves on the right track before the season even starts. I mean, it was bad enough that Sean McDermott after the game was like, this is unacceptable even for a preseason game. Like I'm not happy with the way my team executed and anything. The Bears are the team that the Chiefs play in the third preseason game on Friday night. The Bears just beat the Bills in the preseason 38-0. Again, I know it's preseason, but that's pretty monumental to go and slap the Bills across the face like that.
And Ben Johnson said, I saw it was Kay Adams, I think, talking to DJ Moore and Roma Dunze yesterday. And I think like it was at them, or I don't think it was Ben Johnson himself. Like that was an old Lions playbook they used. They haven't even run out anything that's going to be there. And they're already acclimating quickly. I'd be so fired up if I was a Bears fan right now. I just like if Caleb Williams is the real deal. And again, I loved him as a prospect. But if he is the real deal and can figure this out, in my lifetime, I don't think we've ever been able to say the Bears offense could be a juggernaut. They had some years with Rex Grossman, right? But they hadn't had much otherwise. They've had just kind of flashes. They've had good run games in the past. This feels and looks like it could be a great offense. But again, I still haven't finished third in the division. I'm bigger on the Vikings a little bit, I think, than you are. But I think the real thing to watch here is the Lions. And I know these coordinators are important. But when we look around the league, Philadelphia has been losing coordinators forever. and stayed great. Kansas City's been losing coordinators forever, stayed great. The Ravens lose coordinators every year, stay great. How many coordinators has Sean McVay lost in LA lately and stayed great? Like, I think we're making too much of that when the Lions are as talented as they are. They still have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams looks like he is ready to break out. They still have Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. They still have one of the best offensive lines in football. Yes, their defense ended up being bad last year, but good Lord, they were like, they didn't have anybody to play. They're back health. They do have one significant injury on the defensive line, but it ain't Hutchinson. He's back. Like, you know, I think they're set up. I think we're making too much of the coordinator thing.
I don't get me wrong. I mean, again, like, I'm not saying that any of these teams are going to be bad at all. I just think that if you're going to try to find a team that could potentially take a little bit, like a slight step back. Remember, the Lions had the number one seed in the NFC. They got the bye, like all of that. If you're do I think that they're going to perform to that level again this year? I'm going to say no. I think they'll still be really good. I think they're still a playoff team, but I do think that it's going to take one season to have this transition with new coordinators and all of that. And so I think that you're going to see a big jumbled up mess in this division. It may very well be like a tiebreaker type thing on who wins the division. It could very well be that we're talking like three, maybe four games only separating the first team in the division from the fourth team in the division. Like, when I say the Vikings, I think, are going to finish last in the division, that doesn't mean I think that they're going to be awful. I think they're going to be a good team, and I think they might just like slightly miss out on the playoffs. It's the most talented and best division in football, bar none.
I agree. And I'm overstating it a little bit. So right now you can get them 10-1, which does seem like a really good buying opportunity. The Eagles and the Ravens right now are the favorites at 6.5-1. So the difference there isn't immense. After the Lions, the next closest are the Bengals and Commanders. They're all the way down at 18-1. So Detroit is very much in that mix of like the five favorites for sure. I of those five to get the 10-1, and especially coming out of the NFC, we'll get to it with all our picks, but the Eagles at 6.5 or the Lions at 10.5, the Lions just feel like a better bet to me.
There. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you on that. I think they are a better bet when you're looking at just the odds for sure.
Kansas City still at 7.5. The Lions are at 10.5 wins, by the way. That's a dangerous bet because of their division. But Kansas City, 7.5. You remember the Chiefs being that high anytime recently? I sure don't. I've already got some in on the Chiefs at 7.5. Chiefs are better set up than they have been. Think about this for just a second. We got 2-3 minutes. Are the Chiefs better set up right now than they have been in any of the years at this point that they reached the Super Bowl in the last three?
Probably not. I think they're probably set up the best.
Is it what would be? I think they're set up the best, right? Like, yeah. Because they have had a problem at left tackle in almost all of those years. Not as big a problem as they had last year, obviously, but it hasn't been solidified. Other than the loss of Joe Tooney, though, and I'm baking in, yes, that I think Kelce is going to have a resurgence this year because he is older. I get that. But when we look at the total picture, we'll see what happens in the secondary. I guess if there were two questions to that, it would be the secondary and it would be Joe Tooney's loss. Would be the only big differences, but they've added more offensively. This is by far the best skill group at receiver that Mahomes has had in any of these seasons. By far.
Collectively.
That's even if Kelce just gave you what he gave you last year, yeah, it's still the best.
Collectively, yes. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. Collectively, the best overall collective group of wide receivers that he's had. I mean, I think that it's hard to discount when you've had a Tyreek Hill on your roster for a few years as like the top guy in, the wide receiver one and all of that. But collectively as a group, yeah, it's got to be, if they can stay healthy, the best collective wide receiver group that Mahomes has had.
Yeah, and not even close either, because last year when we thought it would be, they lost them all. I'm watching that Kingdom documentary right now, and it was the second episode, which holy smokes, does it make you appreciate Andy Reid. Man, they do a good job with Andy Reid in that episode. But it kind of, I told you, it is a weird like timeline and sequence of how they kind of jump over to all the different issues in that, is which is an Andy Reid focused episode. They also focus on how many receivers and weapons they lost. And it's just like one after the other. And you're just like, holy cow.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
It is another visit with Shreya Slada on a Wednesday, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. I see again, Shreya's forgot. Okay. I'm going to pretend he forgot and is not just outright refusing to celebrate and participate. Shreyas, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. You know, we've been talking K-State. Everyone's getting ready to go to Ireland. One of the beauties of this weekend for KU is it's the opposite. It is staying home and sort of unveiling the new digs, the new stadium, all the new looks. They had their big, you know, unveil of different things to the media this week, but the bottom line is it's good to have them back on campus there. How is the buzz up there in Lawrence right now? I don't think it's a sellout yet, which surprised me a little bit, but I assume we'll get there by Saturday.
Yeah, I think I saw on the Kansas football account maybe yesterday, they said they had 900 tickets left, so it'll probably be good to go by Thursday, I presume. You know, there's a lot of excitement. You know, I think the players, the coaches, et cetera, are ready to play in Lawrence again. I think last year I had a player tell me that it was, you know, when they were on the road in Kansas City, it just, you know, felt like a road game. I mean, technically it was a home game per se, but, you know, playing at Arrowhead, playing at, you know, Children's Mercy, it's just, I guess, difficult to kind of get the simulation and feeling you get in Lawrence. There was an offensive lineman that said they call themselves MOB, Men of Booth. So they said it was tough to be Men of Booth in Arrowhead, which I thought was a very hilarious little quirk. But yeah,
it was weird. I mean, I think we can, now that we're through that stage, I think we can say it was weird. I went to games at both Children's Mercy and Arrowhead. I love both of those venues. It was odd. It was especially Children's Mercy. That was an odd way to watch a Kansas game. Have you had much of an opportunity to go see the new digs and walk through the stadium? I mean, I'm going to be up there on Saturday. I can't wait. I want to see what it all looks like and how it all feels.
Yeah, no, yesterday I went in and was part of the media tour. Got to try some of the concessions, the chicken tinga nachos, pretty good.
Okay.
Not bad chicken tenders either. But I was super impressed. I mean, I think Travis Goff has tried to say there's no bad seat in the house. And I think I kind of agree with that sentiment. I saw the viewpoint from like the most back seat in the stadium. And it was still a pretty good seat, you know, on the, at least in the north and the northwest end. They've done a tremendous job, you know, great history kind of inscripted into the program. A lot of really cool things in the stadium. You know, obviously you hope you can get something like that when you spend $300+ million, but you never know. Right. And I came away very impressed. I think KU fans are going to like it a lot. I think a lot of things that are underrated, like, you know, there's 14 elevators now. There was only three last time. They have two escalators, the only escalator in the city of Lawrence. And the same amount of escalators, I think, as the state of Wyoming, apparently. That's what we were told. But, you know, I think there's just so many underrated aspects of this stadium build that fans are going to enjoy, besides just the stuff that's in your face, like the end zone, the, you know, the lights, et cetera.
They'll only enjoy it if KU's winning football games. Shreyas, we don't know a lot about Fresno. I don't know how much you've studied film or looked at Fresno State. KU's a big favorite in the game. I have told people this, talking privately. I think I've said it here about KU this year. Like, I got to see him play. I don't know. I mean, I know I like Jalen Daniels. I know I like Hyshaw. And I know Lance Leipold can coach. But this is like, I have got to see them play a little bit to have any opinion on what they're going to do this year. And for that reason, like, I'm just excited to get them out there and see what they've got.
I don't think you're alone in that sentiment. I mean, I've talked to some media members who they're all just kind of like, well, you, like you said, we know what Jalen Daniels is for the most part, but obviously we don't know because he was two different quarterbacks last season.
Right.
And you know what you're getting from Dana Hyshaw, but then it's a bunch of new guys, a bunch of new names, a bunch of question marks, you know, like how good is the defensive secondary without Kobe and Melo? How good does the wide receiver room look with a bunch of new guys that are not, none of them are returning from last year, basically starting wise. I think Fresno State's a tough, you know, opponent to play week one. You know, they've beaten their fair share of FBS teams in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, they were a middle of the Pac West team last year. They are pretty brand new, a lot of transfers, a lot of their good players kind of transferred elsewhere. But they have a veteran quarterback in Kurt Warner's son. I think it's EJ Warner is his name. And he's played 31 games from, you know, he played at Yale. He played at another conference or another school that's slipping my mind at the moment. But, you know, I think it's a good test for Kansas. I think them being double digit favorites, I could very easily see this be a tight game, like going into the fourth quarter, Kansas only up 10, and then Kansas kind of taking it away from there. But, I mean, if you remember last year, this Fresno State team was within 10 of Michigan, or within 6 of Michigan, I think, in the fourth quarter. So they're a tough, tough out. And that was in Ann Arbor. You know, that's Ann Arbor. This is Lawrence. So it's not quite the same.
Yeah, one of the comparisons that I'm, you know, I'm trying to not connect these dots because I don't want the same fate to happen this season as last year. But you mentioned Children's Mercy Park. One of the games at Children's Mercy Park was UNLV in week number 3, and Kansas lost that game 23-20. Now, UNLV, they finished this season 11-3 in the Mountain West, while Fresno State was right around 500. So UNLV was a better football team than Fresno State was in their same conference a season ago. But I'm having a hard time not trying to draw comparisons between the last time the Jayhawks played a Mountain West team and who they're facing this weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely get it. I think this Fresno State team, like you said, is just not as good as UNLV. I also think I have no idea what to expect of them because most of their good players, you know, transferred elsewhere. They went to Baylor, Alabama, et cetera. You know, obviously playing a veteran quarterback will be a good test on this young secondary. Other than that, I'm going in with a pretty clean slate of, like, you know, I have no idea what to expect from this Kansas team outside of, I think Jalen Daniels was a pretty good quarterback. I think Daniel Hyshaw is going to be pretty good. And wide receiver room has received a lot of hype, especially Emmanuel Henderson. Other than that, I wouldn't be surprised if anything happens, I guess, because this, you know, both sides of the ball are filled with a bunch of new faces. There are going to be some growing pains. I think for me, the biggest worry is always going to be how is the pass defense going to look like? And I think they have some talented guys there like Jalen Todd and Austin Alexander and Gibbs, et cetera. But the issue is 100% going to be, are they going to be as good as Kobe and Melo? And if that's probably not going to happen, and that's okay, then that means the defensive line has to be better. The linebacker room has to be better. You know, Kobe and Melo gave, you know, Kansas a lot of opportunities to get away a lot of things that they couldn't necessarily get away with, I think, this year.
What is the identity of this offense going to be this year? It's hard to imagine it because the receivers have been so consistent with Jalen Daniels the last few years, and now they're not. Are they a pass-based offense? They also lost Evan Neal, so it's hard to imagine them as a run-based offense. What do you think they'd like to do?
I think it'll be a healthy balance, a mix. You know, like, you know, I do see the run game being a big part of it because, I mean, LeSean Williams is a great running back. Just 2 years removed, he was a Big Ten all honorable mention. You know, he struggled to stay healthy. Same thing with Hyshaw. You know, I think there'll be great complementary backs. And I think, you know, maybe you're not getting 100% what a Devin Neal gets you, but if you get 80, 90%, I think that's good enough, I think, to have a pretty good offense, as long as you assume that Jalen is what he looks like in the second half of last season. If he can keep the turnovers down, if he doesn't force things into tight windows, you know, I was talking to former Kansas quarterback Carter Stanley about this for our film room session yesterday. And a lot of it's going to be just, you know, make things easier for Jalen. I think one of the things with Grimes' system, I think especially the first couple of weeks, is wide receivers were not as open as they should have been. And I think he had to fit in a lot of tight windows and play a lot of hero ball. When, you know, I think Zabrowski, we saw in the UNLV game, that's the one game we have tape of him being offensive coordinator, is guys were getting wide open. It's just on Jalen to deliver those, you know, strikes to them and get it to them. And I think just having that continuity, I mean, he's been as quarterback coach for 5 years now. He's only going to make it easier when him and Zebrowski are going back and forth with certain plays at the line or whatever.
You mentioned the loss of Kobe and Mello. There were a handful of games last year that the only reason that Kansas was even in those games was because of their efforts. I mean, they were aggressive. They were able to take advantage of, you know, getting turnovers and keeping the Jayhawks in these ball games. It's going to be extremely difficult and I think impossible to replace their impact right away. But what do you see in the secondary?
Yeah, it's a really young group. It's a pretty talented group. I mean, guys like Jalen Todd, Austin Alexander, they brought in some veterans, I think, you know, who are a little bit banged up. Like DJ Graham is supposed to be a starter, I think, when he gets fully healthy. It's like him or Austin Alexander, depending on what happens. Saeed Gibbs from Georgia Tech, he's another veteran guy who's going to play snaps at safety and cornerback. I think the room has an opportunity to be good. I just don't think it'll be good right away. I think it's going to be some growing pains. I think there are going to be some times where, you know, quarterbacks are, you know, targeting certain corners just to see how good they are. Everything we know, you know, about guys like Jahel Hurley and Austin Alexander and Jalen Todd, you know, they are getting good, you know, reviews at practice and training camp, but they are young. And like you said, I just don't see a scenario, at least this year, where they're better at pass defense, unless something's dramatically changed scheme-wise or somebody has an amazing season or two, you know, at pass defense. Like, I think that's going to be the question mark all year. And even with Kobe Mello last year, you saw quarterbacks still, you know, pick apart the KU secondary at times. You know, like, we saw Josh Hoover in TCU. He was doing what he needs to do against that secondary. And I think that's going to be the case in some of these games they play against veteran quarterbacks.
I do too. Kind of like the over there. Shreyas, we'll look for your coverage. We'll look for your previews, your post-game reviews, all of it at the KC Star. At SHRE98 is where you can follow him. Here we are. It's football season. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, I'm excited. Ready to not talk about the renovated David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium. I've probably written that statement 100 times over the last 2 weeks in every article. Let's get ready to play some football.
You're not the only person that has that sentiment. Let's play some football. All right, Trius, we'll talk to you next week. Get that Hawaiian shirt. Set a reminder in your phone.
I got to add one. I don't think I have one in my rotation. I was looking last week, and I was like, I couldn't find anything. I genuinely don't think I have a Hawaiian shirt that fits me. I'll get one, though.
Well, listen, it's you're getting to an age here. You're getting a little older where
don't let him influence you. If you don't want to wear one, you don't have to wear one.
You walk around that day and just watch the way people look.
Come
at
on.
You. All I'm saying.
I think the Hawaiian shirt Wednesday is a good move, but I think it's a little too, I haven't hit 30 yet. Like let's talk about this. We hit 30.
Here's what I'm 27. Tell you. If I walked around in this bad boy without my wedding ring, it would be a problem.
Right.
I'll have to try it. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you.
All right. All right. We'll check you guys next week. There goes Shreyas Lada. Take the over this weekend. I think that's my play on the KU game, Tommy. Take the over. It's high. It's like 53.5 or something. We'll pick it tomorrow. We're doing picks tomorrow.
Friday. We're doing picks on Friday.
Oh, tomorrow's not Friday. Yeah. We're doing picks on Friday. Tomorrow we'll have Tim Fitzgerald from Ireland, which is going to be fun. It's only Wednesday, everybody. We're getting you through it. All right, that's it. It's been a fun Wednesday. Thanks to Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, for stopping by before he hits the air to Ireland, the Aer Lingus this weekend, K-State, Iowa State. And thanks to Shreyas Lada for stopping by as well, our KU insider beat reporter for the KC Star. If you missed either of those interviews, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. See if the Royals can make it 6 in a row tonight. Coverage begins at 6:30 right here on KFH. Royals, Rangers, baseball. Tommy, we will be back here tomorrow to talk about it all.
Man, I can't wait. Hopefully we're talking about a winning series for the Royals.
And we will also preview another NFL division tomorrow as we get you ready for the football season. For Tommy and Max, I'm Jacob. See you tomorrow.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.